the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. Second half of the show has been a busy one. More information coming out at this hour about the University of Michigan. Apparently, this is going to be the big week. The school has received formal notification from the Big Ten of potential disciplinary action. This is the headline in today's Wall Street Journal. The sign-stealing scandal consuming college football. It's amazing to me that the Wall Street Journal would move away from Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett and Tim Cook at Apple to find their way into our little world. Jason Gay joining us, the columnist and Big Ten graduate of another school, not named Michigan. Jason, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, how are you? And it shouldn't be any surprise to anyone who follows the journal closely, because this place is lousy with Wolverines, Paul. We got Wolverines to the right and left all over this newsroom. So listen, I have to hear about Michigan when things are good. So when things are bad, we're staffing up.
Now, being a Wisconsin man, I know you have to try and be objective. I know that's not really part of your DNA, but explain to us how much, I don't know, joy or schadenfreude or whatever the right journal-like word would be to describe your glee with this mess.
I mean, I don't think this is confined to just Wisconsin graduates. Everybody in the Big Ten has two favorite teams, right? Their school and whatever school is playing Michigan that week. It is, you know, it is a combination of schadenfreude and pure delight, frankly, Paul. There's no need to dress it up in some sort of fancy German term. This is a school which has carried itself with, you know, a great deal of hubris and confidence over the years as a football powerhouse, and certainly has returned its swagger in the last few years. And the fact that we can actually kind of flag an asterisk here and have a little fun with it too is pretty juicy.
Now, Jason, you're going to have to help me. I'm just a Southern boy, you know, barely got into a state university, and I don't understand. I've never understood this University of Michigan arrogance, because I run into Michigan graduates in New York or Washington or LA, and I get confused, because they're graduates of the University of Michigan, not Harvard or Princeton or Yale or Stanford. Can you explain what that degree, why that degree seems to mean so much to them and nothing to the rest of us?
Well, first of all, I mean, have you ever been to Ann Arbor? It basically is an Ivy League campus, right? It is sculpted in a very manicured way. They learn three-syllable words in Ann Arbor. They learn four-syllable words in Ann Arbor. They read books. I mean, they have the whole, you know, appearance and accoutrement of what an Ivy League education is. And look, I'm with you. You know, I'm a state school graduate myself. I know a couple of three-syllable words, but the truth of it is that Michigan people are fun to tweak because they don't like the tweaking so much, Paul, as I'm sure you've learned over the last couple of weeks, and you've heard lots of rationalizations and defenses for what's been happening and the investigation.
Yeah, and I spent most of my career, as you know, in Alabama, where national championships were just another year. I've lived through so many that I'm not sure I could remember all the national championship games that I've covered, because they've been so. I mean, Michigan has what, one and a half national, by the way, national championships in what, 70 years?
Something like that. But I think they like to point to the big scoreboard in the sky, which says that they're the winningest program of all time within the sport. I don't even know if that's true, Paul. I hear that every once in a while. I believe that NYU might be actually a little ahead. But in terms of the history of the school, it's there. The championships are not. But again, that's part of the amusement and part of the tweaking that goes on.
So they last won one in 97, and I'm not even sure that was legitimate. One of those championships they shared, I think that was one of them, wasn't it?
Yes.
I really don't care, by the way. I don't want facts here. I just want trash. So let's get to the heart of the matter here.
Yeah.
What do you think's going on here? How bad does Jim Harbaugh look, and what is the commissioner going to do, because he apparently is the only one with any power remaining for now?
Well, Well, first of all, I'm not sure why you are trying to bat away this idea of a media vendetta against Michigan, because I know for a fact that you, myself, the ghost of Woody Hayes, and Keith Jackson meet behind a Golden Corral once a week and come up with all kinds of ways we can torment the Michigan Wolverine football populace. I mean, this is why we do this, right? I think that there's something very particularly Michigan about this, which is the sort of we can't have nice things aspects of this. This is a team that from the gun has looked like one of the most formidable teams in the nation, right? They are a team where you could mount the argument that they might be the best pure college football team. However, now that you have this growing list of allegations about advanced scouting, about the kind of sign stealing you're not supposed to be doing, there's a way to poke at it and there's a way to pick at it away. And I think this uproar within the league, this idea, this conference call that happened between the Big Ten membership and the Big Ten leadership last week, it sounds hilarious. What are you going to do about something? You know, Paul, these institutions, these bureaucracies, whether they're football conferences or national chapters, they're used to tortoise-like pace. They're trying to still examine things they were supposed to examine in the 90s. The idea that they are going to be able to react at warp speed and render some kind of penalty within the context of a season just is completely out of character. I can't wait to see if it happens.
So, Jason, we're in that CFP phase of the season that annoys most people because, I think the chairman of the CFP this year, his first name is Boo. And, he comes out every Tuesday night and, it feels like we're watching some primary debate for the presidency and everybody's talking in circles. But ultimately, if Michigan, wins out, they're going to make the CFP and they very well may win the whole thing. And I wonder, are we going to look at this as a legitimate championship based on what we think we know? We don't know it yet, but we think we do.
Oh, I don't know about that. And I don't know if we're going to actually see a team that's piloted by the man currently in charge. That's the question, right? Whether or not there is some sort of intervention where the coach is suspended for a period of time and may or may not be able to coach in the postseason. For me, if they decide that a penalty is justified, why not a hermetically sealed plexiglass clear box on the sideline where Harbaugh can be seen but not necessarily heard, and they can make the sort of machinations and signs and all that kind of thing, but you're not actually able to hear the guy. That might be an interesting approach to all of this. I think you're right. I think this is going to come down. This is, look, everyone likes to say this is a nightmare for college football. You have one of the top teams in the country, a championship contender, all of a sudden, defending itself against allegations. This to me feels like good old-fashioned down-home college football. We have seen this before. This has existed in the past. I think this is very much in keeping with the tradition of the sport and why we love it so.
And you work at a publication where, there are pretty important issues every day on page one of the Wall Street Journal. College football is not among them. But it seems to me that if this controversy continues to build, and let's hope it does, suddenly in Michigan's ascent to the national championship may be pretty delicious. I mean, we're talking about, much more than ESPN and the back page of the Wall Street Journal. I mean, this could knock a few other things off the front, couldn't it?
You're saying that Michigan football could get up there with the federal interest rate of the moment,
Think so.
the Fed. I think we're already there, Paul. I think people are dying to hear what happens next in this story. And again, this is a big, big school and a big, big footprint. If you don't know a few Michigan graduates personally, you've certainly heard a few in your life. So I don't think this story is going away anytime soon.
I want one of your colleagues in the Journal newsroom in a couple of weeks to ask Jerome Powell what impact Michigan winning the championship would have on future interest rates.
Well, don't give them the signal in advance.
We'll leave it there. Jason Gay, always great to talk to you, the outstanding columnist and best-selling author at the Wall Street Journal. Yes, you heard me correctly. We'll take a short break. We have about an hour and 50 minutes remaining. Your phone call's right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Billy D is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Billy.
Hey, Paul. Man, I thought Chip Kelly calling in after a loss like that, man, what a class act. I mean, truly a class act. You know, Lane, a few others would never, you know, call in to, you know, discuss the wrongs of what happened.
Yeah, Lane didn't want to talk to us Friday. He was afraid he might say something silly. Brian Kelly is a consummate professional, and you know, especially with some pretty controversial issues hanging over his program. Thank you very much for the call. How about Trey in Fort Worth? Hello, Trey.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
So today I want to talk about Alabama after their win against LSU.
Yeah, what about it?
So Jalen Milroe was running all over their defense, and then it was a shootout really until Daniels.
Yeah.
He threw that crazy interception, and then after that they started to go berserk on them. And then I don't know how they didn't call the flag when that Alabama defensive end came and hit him and made him get a concussion.
Brian Kelly said today that he forwarded that to the SEC. I don't really know if it makes any difference after the fact. It was a close call. I've heard. I don't think it was incontrovertible, and I think ultimately it has to be. And it was right on the edge. Thanks for the call. I-Man is up next. Good afternoon.
What kind of word is incontrovertible? I mean, where are you coming up with that crap?
I literally just made it up.
Yeah, I believe you did. I mean, do you steal that from a Biden speech or something? Or a Saban speech when you're shaking hands left and right?
I don't think Joe could quite pull that word off.
Well, I mean, it was targeting all day long. We've seen less, and it was a dirty hit by a dirty player from a dirty team.
Why do you say that?
It was a dirty hit, Paul. Because it was. You saw it. I saw it. And I tell you what, it's come time that the public and even the announcers on the TV and the coaches ought to be able to criticize the damn refs. If you don't have enough people out there to do it, get some younger people and get more of them. Because I've seen some of these officiating crews, and they suck. And if I didn't know better, Paul, I tell you what, the SEC has, 10 contracts with bowl games? And sometimes you just have to look at calls like that and shake your damn head. Because the things don't make sense. LSU was whipping that ass and was going to whip that ass. And you know what? LSU don't have a clear path. And, you know, it's just damn disgusting to watch something dig down deep into the annals of anything for a win in Tuscaloosa. It was a dirty hit by a dirty team. That's what it was. They ought to be forced,
you know,
but they're
know,
not going to do anything.
If you weren't so biased and hated Nick Saban so much, I might take you seriously.
It ain't got nothing to do with hate. It's just calling them like I see them. Unfortunately, you don't have that power because you're too busy kissing up to Nick because Nick won't let you come to his house. And then, of course, Nick does call you to his house because you have to straighten him out and give him speech, you know, speech therapy so he can kind of quit talking his ass into a corner.
In college football history, and you're talking about him like
let's back up on this.
At various stops along the way, and can barely get a job in big time college football.
Mm-hmm. And then you know y'all making the deal out of the Michigan thing like it's the biggest travesty ever in college football, where Georgia Tech pointed finger right at Alabama and Bear Bryant, and everybody knows about Nick Saban cheating like hell up there. He's stepped over the line half a dozen times, even had to get the commissioner to come in and tell Jimbo Fisher to shut the hell up because we don't want this. We don't need this. But it's the truth. And then we see stuff like that on Saturday night. It's just a farce. I mean, you when you're watching these games, you just have to remind yourself it's just entertainment. What would Bugs Bunny do? What would Wile E. Coyote do? I mean, it's just entertainment. But it's a farce. Ward Dan Meagle, have a good day.
Bitter guy today. I mean just because Alabama won. And anyway, Trey is up next.
Damn you, Paul Feinbaum. You hear me? You had a chance. You didn't have to get the gavel out after Dwayne. All you had to do was this, Paul Feinbaum. Paul, that's all you had to do.
All you had to do was just...
Hey, Paul, you know what? I hope Jaden Daniels is okay, but I want to congratulate that coaching staff. I mean, these halftime adjustments this coaching staff is making, including the line coach, has been unbelievable. Against the three highest scoring teams in the SEC, Ole Miss, LSU, and Tennessee, they have come out and outscored them 62-10 in the second half. And, you know, Paul, it's not just coaches making the adjustment. You have to give a lot of credit to the players, because if they don't execute the adjustments, then you don't have the outcome that you want. But now I want to address J.K. Last week he said Alabama has to score at least 40 to win, and there's no way that sorry offense could score at least 40 points. Well, lo and behold, they score 42, and LSU only scores 28. And then – Miami don't even get in the end zone all weekend. They've had to kick two field goals to that powerhouse North Carolina State. So, J.K., please call in and pull for Kentucky and give us your expert advice this weekend. Kentucky, I think this is a trap game early in the morning after a big game at night in Tuscaloosa. Kentucky's not a great team, but they're pretty good. And I just think, don't be surprised if Alabama don't struggle for the first two or three quarters.
No, I think you're 100% right about that, Trey. I mean, I thought this was a trap game in July when we saw the schedule based on week after LSU. Alabama has done I'm going back, 10 years, 11 years? Alabama lost a game the week after LSU to Texas A&M. They never should have lost that game. Other weeks they have struggled. It's one of the most difficult spots on the schedule, and the early game a lot of times does not favor the home team. Except we were up in Kentucky about 6-7 weeks ago, and they played their best game of the year at the exact same time against Florida. Now it could have been Florida might have inspired them a little more, but appreciate the call. CJ is in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate Iron Man's call, man. It was a dirty, dirty hit, and it angered me so much. And I'm kind of shocked the way you and some of the others go along whenever Nick Saban says, oh, yeah, it was a good hit. That, if he was in the NFL, he would be suspended for several games, huge fine, and he would have been his name would have been drugged through the mud.
He did the same thing to yours last year. CJ, wait just a second, if you could. I didn't like the hit.
It was dirty. You cannot defend that. That's fine. I mean, if they want to –
how do you bring Nick Saban into it? I mean, do you think Nick Saban sanctioned the hit?
You said he's over the whole program, right? He's the GOAT. I mean, he said, it's not a dirty hit. I think it was a good hit, fist bumping him after. That's some BS, man. That Nick Saban is known for that. Getting his players to take that extra step or two, you are supposed to not follow through.
You can say whatever you want about Nick Saban. I have never heard a legitimate person in college sports say that Nick Saban encourages that. Never.
That's BS, Paul. I'm sorry.
You can say whatever you want, and you're using a very descriptive phrase. But I have covered Nick Saban for about 20 years now, and I feel like I would have heard somebody by now saying that he runs a dirty program. I've never heard anybody say that, ever.
He did the same thing to yours last year. How long was Winier's yacht for Texas? The whole season or most of it? Is the same thing. He took that extra step or two, same player, drove him into the ground just like that. And what did the SEC coaches do? Officials do. Oh, the heck with it. It's just roughing the passer. I mean, that – and even if it was targeting, you know, really how much of a penalty is that? It was just a very dirty play.
Well, it was a pretty
disgusting.
Serious penalty since the guy would get kicked out of the game.
It was dirty, but that's okay. Hey, I understand. It's a violent game. LSU will never forget what they did that night to Jaden Daniels. I can promise you that. They want to play dirty, eye for an eye. Because I tell you, I'm angry at all those Alabama CJ, fans.
What in the world is that supposed to mean?
What? Well, it's exactly what it means. It is exactly what it means. If you want to take out our player, I mean, try to physically hurt him.
Okay, listen, I'm not going to argue. Let's get some expertise here from Larry and Shelby.
Hey, let me tell you, I hope he's still on. I'll tell you something, jackass. Where was you at when Mississippi State, two of them 350-pounders fell on Tua and ripped his helmet off and broke his freaking nose, you boo-hoo ass? Let me tell you something. I'd love to put one of them hits on your ass right now. Boom! I'd drive you through the turf. They'd have to dig for 2 weeks to get your ass out of the ground. Now, you boo-hoo ass, you don't even need to watch football. You must be a little sissy. Mama's baby probably still sucking high-ass tits. So why don't you
put that crap somewhere outside of football field,
you jackass?
Football.
You there?
Yeah, I'm I am here, but...
I'm not about that jackass. I wish he was on the phone.
He had to go home to mom.
Oh.
We'll be right back. Much more excitement right here at the nursery school.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Eat and react. The guys will break down the weekend tonight. We're back, and Jim is up next. Hello, Jim.
I had a good call with your buddy Pat Smith today on his show, and it was
really funny
because I attacked that stupid imbecile JK who was on calling himself Bama hater. He's Bama hater. He's just a hater, period. He's imbecile, and he's just miserable. He's miserable because what's going on with everybody in this state, or where I am, not where you are. You know what I mean. But anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into that. I've said enough, but I've said plainly what I felt. And I tell you how good the call was. I had Pat said, okay, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's calling in and texting us saying, is this the Feinbaum Show on early? I said, no, that's just Jim, the best caller. He said the best caller that ever was. So I'm sorry, leg humper from Mississippi. I don't care what you think. You're a lying old man. Boy, you look ugly. I didn't know he was that ugly.
Did you see him at all? I'm curious what you thought.
I saw that clip a while ago when you give him privilege treatment on there. I didn't know he was that bad at all. I wouldn't come anywhere in public if I looked that old and bad. And I don't, believe me. But here's what I want to call about. You know, I got some buddies on here. I got some friends on here. And I don't agree with some of the things that they say. And I guarantee you this. I'm just going to hope I can say this right without getting out of line with my Laker. But look, what that play was concerning Dallas Turner was absolutely aggressive, perfect football play, aggressive and needed, and it changed the tone. And you can't make a tackle like that unless you do what he did, which is throw himself right at the object and hit bullseye, not targeting, just right, cover the guy with his whole body, and that's brutal football, and if you want to play, that's what you're going to get. That's what you're subject to, especially in a game that's so, so important. And Dallas Turner ought to be the player of the week for that defensive media. I don't care what they think about being calling it dirty. That's what the haters in Alabama don't call things like that dirty. It ain't dirty. Do you agree with me? That was not dirty.
Well, I agree with you, and you always, as a defensive player, you're going to take a risk when you're that aggressive. But that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're
exactly what you're supposed to do. If you're not that aggressive, that's how a guy like him, elusive guy like Daniels, that's how he gets away. That's exactly what. And I got mad at Saban bad because he didn't do what Bill Oliver did, and what you said needed, and what I knew needed to be done. To corral that guy, the great player, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate, and Saban did not do what Brother Bill Oliver did in '93 and put six defensive backs in the box and rush the guy with the whole team rushing and in his face.
Last night, I saw the Eagles do the same thing to Dak Prescott that you're talking about. Not that many, but I mean they were driving him all over the place.
And it overwhelmed him, didn't it?
It sure did. They lost the game.
We both said that. I don't know why Saban's so stubborn. I tell you what, as good as he's supposed, he's the worst defensive coach. That's always been my complaint with him. Bad defensive back.
He is not the most aggressive. I mean, he's a finesse, nuanced
kind of a control type rather than aggressive when he needs to be on defense.
Well,
I know I'm right, Paul. You don't have to. You know, I don't care if you agree or not. I think you do agree, but I know what I'm talking about. And it was. I don't understand why. I got so mad I had to turn the game off. It made me so mad.
You turned the game
off. But anyway, I mean, I was watching on TV, and I just said, I just can't stand to watch this. It made me. We didn't have to. We didn't need to get nervous, Alabama people, during that game. If he'd have done that, if he'd have put the right schemes, like I said, on the defensive plan. It would have been easily. I think we'd have won easily, pretty easily. But he didn't do that.
Still won by 14 points.
I know, but they let them get 28, and they wouldn't have got 28 points if what I'm talking about was what that plan was implemented on defense. Never would have got it. Hey, look, Paul, that rattles the hell out. I know what I'm talking about. I got rattled. I played with that fool. In Mississippi State, so I played quarterback and played it well, and I know what rattles the quarterback. It's too many people in your face. You get rattled. You can't think straight. You lose your composure. You can't do the job. That's what it amounted to that should have been done and was not done, and that's what made me so mad. Yeah, I get mad about things like that. I got mad when I played, and I'm going to get mad as long as I live on stupidity. I can't tolerate stupidity. Bottom line.
We agree on that.
All right, thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, always good to hear from you, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. Bridgewater in Tennessee is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Hey, golly, I'm going to have to say that I do agree with Jim on the hit. I feel like the hit was, there was nothing wrong with it. And they gave him a penalty, but I do like the hit. And that's what you're out there for. And I think it's a great athletic move. But the LSU's problem is they put that quarterback right back in after one play.
Yeah,
he didn't even know where he was at.
That was.
He didn't know where he was at.
Yeah, no. I mean, I always wonder what in the world's going on the sidelines. It's not even the coaches. The coaches are it's the medical staff. Like, where was the trainer?
I guarantee you, when he went back out there, he didn't know. Couldn't remember the play. So anyway, Jim makes pretty good points, but daggum, he don't need to talk so loud, does he? Does he talk like that all the time to everybody?
Well, see what I look at it differently. I like people that are emotional and charged up. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Well, great to hear from you. Billy is up next. Hey, Billy.
Paul, man, I called earlier. Brain fart. I called him Chip Kelly, but
Brian Kelly. But I appreciate you clarifying that. That's great. Mark is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Mark.
Well, Paul, first of all, I would like to say it was a pleasure to meet you the other day, sir.
Well, thank you.
And I would like to thank you for bringing your talents and your show to Oxford. Just days after I give you a hard time about not showing Ole Miss enough love. I mean, you couldn't make that up, Paul, right? I'm giving you a hard time
That really comes with the territory. And by the way, people want to blame me or the show. We don't control anything. We literally are told on Saturday night or Sunday morning where we're going next. With no
It was great to see. It was great to see you, Paul. And I was glad. I'm great to see you and your show in Oxford. Anyway, Paul,
it was fun. It really was a great experience.
That being said, hotty tighty, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? 8-1. That was a good win over A&M. A&M is underrated. They're a better team than the record indicates.
You're right. They have enormous talent. Sometimes they get in their own way, and that lies on the head coach. We'll take a short break. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Swami is up next.
Well, hey, big guy. What's going on, Paul?
Swami.
Hey, it's been a while. But you know, Paul, I've been kind of listening to the show today and, you know, listening to I-Man and Jim from Tuscaloosa. And I've got a question about Jim's call, but I got a futuristic question for you. After that, you know, I just wonder, you know, I normally love Jim's call, but I wonder if maybe Daryl has sold Jim his old phone or something, because he seems like he's out in the breeze or the wind or something out there.
I mean, Jim is hard to understand anymore. I don't know what's going on with Jim.
And as far as my futuristic question, Paul, you know, we're going to have the same boring-ass four teams in the college playoff system this year. But what about next year when we go to 12? Can we really perceive how that's going to be? For me, I think it's a great idea, and I think it's going to really just – give college football the boost it needs, but I just want to know your thoughts on it.
No, I think it's going to be one of the most exciting things that's ever happened. You got everything happening next year. You got the expansion in the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, and oh yeah, the three power killers in the ACC, and then you have the playoff. It will be the seminal year in college football history, at least in recent history, I should say. Michelle. Who's up next? Michelle.
Hey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, I'm first-time caller, but a long-time listener.
Wonderful.
I just wanted to say how funny I think your show is.
Well, thank you.
My husband's a diehard Alabama fan, and me, I'm an Auburn fan. So, you know, our house is a little divided. But he likes to listen to the sports and stuff. I'd like to listen just to laugh at everybody that calls in.
Well, we appreciate that, and there are a lot of sports shows, and in my estimation, they all sound the same. I think we're different mm-hmm. because we let the callers be the stars.
Yeah, and I do. I love that. I love that. And I will say though, the hit that's big controversial, even with me being an Auburn fan, I still think it was an okay hit.
Well, I'm not about to say that it wasn't on the border, and
Yes. That
is a hard call to make, but it has to be clear, I think, to the officials, and it wasn't, and it you know, should have been reviewed. I think most people would agree on that. Hey, thank you very, very much. George is up next in Georgia. Hey, George.
How you doing, Paul?
You're doing great.
Yeah, here's the reason that was targeting. He lowered his head, he launched, and he hit him in the chin at what had to have been 500 pounds of foot pressure at least. You got a 215-pound defensive end running at full speed. So anyway, on with that. I have a question. So let's just say Georgia makes it to the SEC championship and they have not lost. And Alabama makes it, and they win by 2 points. Is there any chance Georgia and Alabama both make it to the Final Four? Thanks.
Yeah, there is. Some of that's going to depend on other things. I mean, there's a doomsday scenario that's floating around, and one reason, I mean, I don't mind people bringing them up, but they don't mean much right now because we've seen so much chaos, so much carnage. The one that I think bothers a lot of people is if Alabama wins against Georgia and still finishes behind Texas because of the head-to-head. Let's check in with Tim in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Tim. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I just had a question about – I'm a first time on your show. I just had a question about an official's call in the game. We were there. It was at the other end of the field. It was, I believe, the third quarter. And LSU scrambled, and I believe they were called for a blindside block. The official said because it occurred beyond the line of scrimmage, it was first and one. Now, maybe you've already discussed this. I'm trying to understand what that call meant, why it was first and one when the penalty was on LSU.
Yeah, that's I'm going to defer to somebody. I do remember it, and I was yeah, it may have just been too far away. I really can't explain that one. It's a great call. It's a great question.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for the question. And David is in Mississippi. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Took my first trip over to Tuscaloosa this past weekend. Long time Tiger fan. Finally broke down and went to Tuscaloosa.
And?
Hey, great experience. Probably best in-stadium experience that I've ever, you know, been a part of. I mean, you know what? We had a good time. We really did. We thought we had a chance, or, you know, we had a chance, but, you know, good game. You know, just, I tell you what, I knew Milroe was who he was. He just hadn't, you know, just come out strong like that in a total game performance. But, you know, good player, really good player. And we got a good quarterback too. We do. I was going to say this, that watch live from way up high, the roughing the passer. And you know, I thought there was a little more to it in the, you know, live time there. But after looking at it later on, you know, the way I look at it is that, you know, hey, you can't control how hard a guy's going to hit his head on the, you know, on the grass there, or on, you know. And
hey, so, David, we have to run. I'm not shilling for the officials, because they make a lot of mistakes. I just think it was close. It needs to be more than close.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.